Chapter 3 Return from Corporeal to the Spirit Life. 149. What becomes of the soul at the moment of death? It becomes again a spirit, that is to say, it returns into the world of spirits, which it had quitted for a short time. 150. Does the soul, after death, preserve its individuality? Yes, it never loses its individuality. What would the soul be if it did not preserve it? How does the soul preserve the consciousness of its individuality, since it no longer has its material body? It still has a fluid peculiar to itself, which it draws from the atmosphere of its planet, and which represents the appearance of its last incarnation, its perispirit. Does the soul take nothing of this life away with it? Nothing but the remembrance of that life and the desire to go to a better world. This remembrance is full of sweetness or of bitterness according to the use it has made of the earthly life it has quitted. The more advanced is the degree of its purification, the more clearly does it perceive the futility of all that it has left behind it upon the earth. 151. What is to be thought of the opinion that the soul after death returns to the universal whole? Does not the mass of spirits, considered in its totality, constitute a whole? Does it not constitute a world? When you are in an assembly, you form an integral part of that assembly, and yet you still retain your individuality. 152. What proof can we have of the individuality of the soul after death? Is not this proof furnished by the communications which you obtain? If you were not blind, you would see; if you were not deaf, you would hear. For you are often spoken to by a voice which reveals to you the existence of a being exterior to yourself. 153. In what sense should we understand eternal life? It is the life of the spirit that is eternal, that of the body is transitory and fleeting. When the body dies, the soul re-enters the eternal life. Would it not be more correct to apply the term eternal life to the life of the purified spirits, of those who, having attained to the degree of relative perfection, have no longer to undergo the discipline of suffering? The life of that degree might rather be termed eternal happiness, but this is a question of words. You may call things as you please, provided you are agreed among yourselves as to your meaning. 154. Is the separation of the soul from the body a painful process? No, the body often suffers more during life than at the moment of death, when the soul is usually unconscious of what is occurring to the body. The sensations experienced at the moment of death are often a source of enjoyment for the spirit, who recognizes them as putting an end to the term of his exile. 155. How is the separation of soul and body affected? The bonds which retain the soul being broken, it disengages itself from the body. Is this separation effected instantaneously, and by means of an abrupt transition? Is there any distinctly marked line of demarcation between life and death? No, the soul disengages itself gradually. It does not escape at once from the body, like a bird whose cage is suddenly opened. The two states touch and run into each other, and the spirit extricates himself, little by little, from his fleshly bonds, which are loosed, but not broken. 156. Can the definitive separation of the soul and body take place before the complete cessation of organic life? It sometimes happens that the soul has quitted the body before the last agony comes on, so that the latter is only the closing act of merely organic life. The dying man has no longer any consciousness of himself, and nevertheless there still remains in him a faint breathing of vitality. The body is a machine that is kept in movement by the heart. It continues to live as long as the heart causes the blood to circulate in the veins, and has no need of the soul to do that. 157. Does the soul sometimes at the moment of death experience an aspiration or an ecstasy that gives it a foreglimpse of the world into which it is about to return? The soul often feels the loosening of the bonds that attach it to the body, and does its utmost to hasten and complete the work of separation. Already partially freed from matter, it beholds the future unrolled before it, and enjoys, in anticipation, the spirit state upon which it is about to re-enter. 158. do the transformations of the caterpillar which, first of all, crawls upon the ground, and then shuts itself up in its chrysalis in seeming death, to be reborn therefrom into a new and brilliant existence. Give us anything like a true idea of the relation between our terrestrial life, the tomb, and our new existence beyond the latter? An idea on a very small scale. The image is good, but, nevertheless, it would not do to accept it literally, as you so often do in regard to such images. 159. What sensation is experienced by the soul at the moment when it recovers its consciousness in the world of spirits? That depends on circumstances. He who has done evil from the love of evil is overwhelmed with shame for his wrongdoing. With the righteous it is very different. His soul seems to be eased of a heavy load, for it does not dread the most searching glance. 160. Does the spirit find himself at once in company with those whom he knew upon the earth, and who died before him? Yes, and more or less promptly according to the degree of his affection for them and of theirs for him. They often come to meet him on his return to the spirit world, and help to free him from the bonds of matter. Others whom he formerly knew, but whom he had lost sight of during his sojourn on the earth, also come to meet him. He sees those who are in erraticism, and he goes to visit those who are still incarnated. 161. In cases of violent or accidental death, when the organs have not been weakened by age or by sickness, does the separation of the soul take place simultaneously with the cessation of organic life? It does so usually, and, at any rate, the interval between them, in all such cases, is very brief. 162. After decapitation, for instance, does a man retain consciousness for a longer or shorter time? He frequently does so for a few minutes, until the organic life of the body is completely extinct, but, on the other hand, the fear of death often causes a man to lose consciousness before the moment of execution. 163. Does the soul, on quitting the body, find itself at once in possession of its self-consciousness? Not at once. It is for a time in a state of confusion which obscures all its perceptions. 164. Do all spirits experience, in the same degree and for the same length of time, the confusion which follows the separation of the soul from the body? No, this depends entirely on their degree of elevation. He who has already accomplished a certain amount of purification recovers his consciousness almost immediately, because he had already freed himself from the thraldom of materiality during his bodily life, whereas the carnally minded man, he whose conscience is not clear, retains the impression of matter for a much longer time. 165. Does a knowledge of spiritism exercise any influence on the duration of this state of confusion? It exercises a very considerable influence on that duration, because it enables the spirit to understand beforehand the new situation in which it is about to find itself, but the practice of rectitude during the earthly life, and a clear conscience, are the conditions which conduce most powerfully to shorten it.